see, 604, and we barely have more commissioners than people in the audience, so.
Important people are here.
I guess so. So first item is roll call, please.
Commissioner Lopez.
Present.
Commissioner Geary.
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn.
Here.
Commissioner Taggart.
Here.
And Commissioner Christopher.
Here.
And Supervisor Couch, is that a current?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I talked to him earlier today, couldn't make it. He's gonna try to appoint someone else. I don't know who that would be, because they're already short one, I think, at this point. Still short, okay. Approval of summary of proceedings from last month. We're gonna have a chance to take a look at it. Look at me.
I'll make a motion to approve that.
Okay, we have a motion, we need a second.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion, a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. On the consent agenda, we have zero. So move on to public presentations. And I want to mention also, any cell phones or electronic devices, please put them on mute or turn off. I think it was for me too, mine's off. Okay, this portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. You have 2 minutes, but tonight I'll probably give you 3 or 4. Any presentations from the first table?
They have something to say.
Table 3 and nothing, and Danny, nothing. Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the head table, close that out. Staff announcements or reports. Director Cullen has his monthly report. Director Cullen, you have our attention.
Good evening.
I thought it was on the wall timer.
My name is Nick Cullen. I'm the director of the County of Kearns Animal Services Department. And I'm here to present the director's report for the month of August. And I'd like to touch on a few highlights as quickly as possible. And the volume is down. Answer any questions. So I'll start by talking about, again, I know it's tough, sometimes there's no point in reference if you don't have a year's worth of statistics or the prior month's report, but the vaccine clinics for August was, we were about 50% more than we would usually see, so our clinics were very successful in August. We administered almost 500 rabies, almost 500 parvovirus temper vaccines, and quite a few feline vaccines too, and over 100 microchips. So big shout out to the community who shows up at those clinics. Seems like if we continue to make resources available, the folks take advantage of them, which is a good thing. Just a reminder that all the parvo distemper vaccines as well as the feline vaccines are no cost to any pet owner in the community that comes to our clinics. They're free, doesn't matter, city, county. It's been that way for about 2 years, and that's thanks to the Petco Love Foundation, who provides those vaccines to us at no cost. At no cost, with the understanding that we offer them to the community also at no cost. Also for spay and neuter, we were very busy. We had 8 spay and neuter clinics in the month of August. All told, we provided for the sterilization of 429 animals. Moving forward, you're going to see a lot more clinics. I touched on this last month, but the next page, which is the spay and neuter account, you'll see that the budgeted dollar amount for spay and neuter is $1 million. And so what comes along with that wonderful news is a frantic effort to provide surgeries at a frantic rate. So So August, we had 8 clinics. We're shooting for 12 to 13 mobile clinics a month, but we're also reaching out into the community. We have a request for proposals out into the community to find more spay-neuter providers that could take a piece of the spay-neuter program and hopefully produce more spay-neuter, because right now it's really only one provider that provides most of the spay-neuter for the county, and that's the SNP bus. And so asking one organization to take on, you know, twice the amount of clinics that they're already doing means we're taking away from another organization that's already doing that work. So we're trying to find another provider. But still, 429 animals, 429 less animals that are producing offspring, which is a good thing. We had Clear the Shelters in August. So Clear the Shelters is a nationwide adoption promotion. It's sponsored by a number of different agencies, but it was started by NBC Universal. And I know now that Maddie's Fund is a sponsor, Bill's Pet Nutrition is a sponsor, there's quite a few sponsors, a couple of local sponsors, too, to be clean, one of the sponsors too. But it's a nationwide adoption promotion. Different agencies can choose how they want to participate. The idea is to promote adoptions. NBC gets behind it, all of their partners get behind it to promote nationwide the need to adopt from shelters. And so we participated again this year. We did a countdown, actually. The days it started August 10th, and the days leading up to August 10th, we incrementally reduced the adoption fees from 25 to 20 to 15 to 10 to 5 to 0. And then the first day of the event, we had a few eight adoptions all the way through September 10th. And I think we were shy of 500 total adoptions for Clear the Shelters. So I know the city of Bakersfield also had a very successful Clear the Shelters event too, so I'm sure we'll participate in that again. Next page is a shout out to one of our favorite people in the world.
I didn't have an autograph.
Miss Joan Payton. You know, what can you say about Joan? Joan has been volunteering at the Kern County Animal Shelter for over 20 years now.
Not quite 20.
Not yet?
I don't think, but I'm not sure. I keep saying
60 days. Well, I've been there 20 years. You've been volunteering there 20 years. Do I outdate you?
Maybe by a year or two. Who was the first director?
Well, there wasn't a director at the time, because it's the chief. Denise Haynes.
I was before her.
Before her was Constantine, Matt Constantine.
Yes. Constantine and the mad boy.
Ms. Joan Payton, she's been volunteering to groom dogs for, as you already heard, for upwards of 19 years. And she's just an exemplary community member who really puts her money where her mouth is. You know, she's still there as often as she can be. She still makes the dogs look pretty, as you can see. There's some examples in there, and that's just a few. She just donates her time as often as she can to come in and groom our dogs that really need it. And you know, it really does make a difference. It really does impact, and I can't tell you how many times after Joan leaves, the dogs that she's just groomed, they're all of a sudden giving attention to my kids. It's a real-world impactful benefit that she provides to the shelter and to the animals. I just want to say thank you to Joan. I mean, she's a lifesaver, and I wish everybody would like her. Moving right along, one of our new promotions is every Friday. We have a Foster Dog Friday. We have so many animals out and foster at any given time. Hundreds of kittens, probably hundreds of dogs. And a lot of those dogs are, it's a blessing when we get an animal, a dog, especially a large breed dog, out of the shelter. It's a blessing. But there's a big difference between foster and adoption. Foster is temporary, it's not permanent. And so when we send an animal out to foster, although we rejoice because it's at much less of a risk of euthanasia, and it's no longer in the shelter and no longer taking up space, but there still has to be some finality for that animal. There has to be somewhere for it to go. And so trying to find ways to market those animals that have already left the shelter gets to be challenging sometimes because out of sight, out of mind. Danny, in his infinite wisdom, came up with, we're just promoting dogs that are in our foster program on Fridays. Foster Dog Fridays, if you check out our
social media pages and you see that. Those are animals that we're really trying to get the word out about, because a lot of them have been in foster for quite some time. And also, credit to the foster families. A lot of the foster families are taking their foster dogs to off-site events, Fridays and Saturdays, and really doing their part to promote those animals. Touch on the Boral fire. If you live here, you're probably well aware that there was a pretty devastating fire in July up into August. I think it might be still burning. No, I think it's extinguished. But the Boral fire devastated almost 100 residences, I think 94 homes, over 100 structures, just completely devastated. It's the most devastating wildfire in Kern County history by acreage. I think it was 95,000 acres burned or something like that. And so we had a response, of course. Our team, along with the Central California Animal Disaster Team, were providing round-the-clock daily care for animals that belong to displaced residents. But then after the response, our team headed out to the Kern River Valley, and we participated in the local area, local assistance center. And all that is after there's a devastating event like that, the county tries to put together a host of resources for the community, where they can go one place and find out, you know, how do I get funding to rebuild my home? How do I fix septic systems? And yeah, how do I help? How will you help me care for my animal while I'm displaced? So our team was there all week. The week after, the week that the county had the LAC up, we were there every single day from 9 a.m. until 8 p.m. And we gave out thousands of pounds of dog food. We had hay for the community, bowls and leashes. And it was just another one of those things where especially our staff that got to be out there and really see the devastation and see how people really lost everything, kind of drove it home for our people. We tried something new in August also. We participated in something called National Check the Chip Day. Now you may ask Nick, what's National Check the Chip Day? And I would tell you, that is a nationwide effort to organize an event to scan pets that already have a microchip to make sure the information is accurate. And so we had decided to throw it together kind of last minute and participate, and we promoted it. And the thing that I wanted to let you know about that, which is pretty fascinating, is I think we gave out over 100 microchips that day, I believe, but 76 animals were brought in to have their chips scanned. And out of those 76 animals, 75 needed information updated.
Wow.
So, and sometimes it was complete information, like owner, name, and address. And other times it was just a phone number or maybe new address. But yeah, it just goes to show, it's one of those things that you don't think about a lot, is to make sure that your information is up to date. It kind of explains why we have such a dismal return rate, even with microchips. So we're out in the community as always, every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Check us out. Follow us on social media. All of the social media channels, we promote where we're going to be. Again, that's our effort to try to bring animals to where people are instead of hoping that people come to where the animals are. We had a cool idea. Our staff had a wonderful idea on page 18. They kept seeing people post about their kids going back to school. And you know how they usually will take pictures of their kids on their first day of school. And so our staff had an idea. They wanted to dress up the dogs for their first day of school. And so they had a Instagram post or a social media post where we put all the dogs up in different costumes, and we had the community vote on which one they thought was the best. And the staff team that had the one that got the most votes and won a pizza party or something like that. They won something. Great. So it was super cute. I thought it was interesting. They were very creative. This is the staff that did all those pictures. That concludes the director's report. I can answer any questions anybody might have about it or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, open questions up to Commissioners, Commissioner Lopez, anything?
No.
Commissioner Geary?
I saw something on Facebook, and I don't know if it was a Foster or just the Streets of Bakersfield thing, and she did an in-depth, they went everywhere. It was really, and it was recent, I can't tell you which dog it was, but I just saw it on Facebook, and I think that something like that, but she did the in-depth thing, and she brought the dog here, she had it at her house, she had it sitting and shaking, I don't know if you know which dog it is, I think it was a Shepherd, but anyway, to me, that showed, that would help a lot if more people who either fostered or did the Streets of Bakersfield did a lot of videoing.
Yeah, so our Streets of Bakersfield, we sent, I want to say 35 dogs went out on Saturday. I think we only, I do say only, had seven people that had taken those animals out and then like captured some sort of pictures and video, but I do know that we encouraged them to do that. We have some really dedicated volunteers. Probably the content you saw might have been cultivated by one of those volunteers, actually. But we're always encouraging those.
I wanted to adopt the dog. I mean, this is after the show.
We often encourage them to bring back photos and videos. We encourage them to post those things and to tag us. But a lot of that content that you see created is from like three or four volunteers that come into our facility and they religiously participate in the Streets of Bakersfield program. So I don't know if that's a particular one that you saw, but they deserve a shout out because they do amazing work.
Okay.
Mr.
Hager?
Yes, I love the foster. Obviously, you couldn't do what you do without the fosters. Do you think that because these animals aren't there on property, that it takes away from their chance of going home? I mean, not that there's anything you could do, because you've got to get them out, and at least they're in a loving home. But do you find that they get adopted as rapidly as the animals that are in the shelter?
It's a complicated question because they definitely have less of a chance of being adopted by just a random adopter because they're not being seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they're at the shelter, you know, if we have, I don't know, anywhere from 100 to 175 people that walk through the shelter on a Saturday, mm-hmm. if that dog's at home in a foster, nobody's seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so just trying to make it more visible and trying to provide some sort of venue for people to promote those animals. Yeah, it does. It increases the odds of those animals being adopted. But also, we've done some other things because, again, we know that the animals, especially the dogs that are in foster, aren't being promoted very much. So we give them vests and bandanas that say Adopt Me. And now, in the last few months, we have created a portal so that if they're out in the community and somebody expresses an interest to adopt the animal, that the foster can adopt the animal. They can go to that link, process a payment, and then just notify us that the dog's adopted.
Oh, nice.
So we're doing what we can to try to help the fosters,
right.
Encourage them to market their own animals, but also support them in any way we can. We always encourage them to show up at any one of our offsite events, and they do pretty often show up at our offsite adoption events.
Mm-hmm. And you guys are still doing cats at the offsite adoption events?
Yeah, Echo
great.
Stores, yeah. We're trying to do some expansion in those areas,
mm-hmm.
in-store adoptions. But yeah, our cats are still in the local Petco stores and a couple of the PetSmart stores.
Okay. Well, shout out to Deanna. Every time I go in there, she's got something behind her desk. I made a bad move yesterday. I should have turned right, and I accidentally turned left. Now I have to.
You know, wonderful move.
Okay. I had one thing. We talked about Home Depot last month. I think you mentioned it this time. I didn't realize it was a foundation, to be honest with you. So can you elaborate a little bit about the foundation, Home Depot Foundation? And I'm glad the heat wave is over, thank God. But
yeah,
they donate.
So I brought it up last month just because it had just happened, but it actually happened in August. So that's why it's in here. So there's the Gosford Home Depot location. They had noticed, actually both the Rosedale Highway and the Gosford location had seen some of our posts on social media about our coolers being inoperable. And so both of them, to some extent, had donated some coolers. But the Gosford store actually reached out to us and said, hey, we want to do something larger. We want to really try to supply you with enough evaporative coolers so that we can really keep the animals comfortable.
And so one of their store technicians, she reached out to me, we talked back and forth about what the needs were, and she applied for a grant through the Home Depot Foundation, and that's kind of what she does. She's like a liaison between the community and the Home Depot Foundation. And so we worked together to kind of fill out the application, submitted it to the store, and then they approved the grant application. I think it was almost $5,000. They bought 10 evaporative coolers, and they're like $450 a piece. Then we got a bunch of hoses and like spray nozzles, and yeah, it was really heartfelt and compassionate of them to do that. And we didn't even ask for it.
Good. I just noticed the hose, and I bet you use those quite a bit.
Yeah.
The kennels are okay. What is the deal on food? Have you got enough food over there, or do you need more food donated, or are you pretty well taken care of on the food side?
So our food is provided to us at no cost through the Hill's Science Diet Program.
So it's fine.
We don't get any food.
And they take care of it?
Yeah. We order every 2 weeks.
Oh, you just order what you need. Okay. I didn't know how that worked. Okay, real good. So we have up here, I'll open up questions to the first table if there's any. Okay, how about the third table? Any questions? How about Danny's table? Okay, we'll call it that. Okay, seeing none, at this time we need a motion to receive and file the report. Thank you, Nick.
I make a motion.
And I second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, thank you. Commissioners' announcements or reports. Basically, what have you done in the animal world in the last month or so? Or maybe if you're out in Europe somewhere, maybe you might have done something with animals. I don't know. Commissioner Lopez, do you have anything? Okay. Commissioner Gary, I know she's got something. Tell us all about your trip.
I have been busy. Well, before the trip, we had the Borel fire. Okay. And so we opened up a small animal shelter in Tehachapi. We had dogs and cats. We were open for about 10 days, Nick?
Yeah, about that. It felt like it was longer than that.
Though. I know. So we had that going on. Our Central California Animal Disaster Team bumped up with the help of Nick from 10 volunteers to over 20. It was amazing, and they're great volunteers, so they were willing to come and help, and it was their first rodeo, and they did really well. So that was the Borel fire. I turned in my 9th service puppy to go to professional training right after that. And then after that, I went on an Arctic expedition cruise. I saw polar bears, whales, I went kayaking, zodiac, did a lot of stuff. It was amazing. It was a smaller ship, so there was only like 100 people on it. I think there was about 100 staff. And it wasn't like a regular cruise. It wasn't like you eat all the time. You're busy. You're busy going off the ship in fjords and places that no man has gone before. It seemed like it was absolutely amazing.
That was beautiful, right?
It was so beautiful. So beautiful.
How cold was it at that?
You know, it was there summertime, so it was in the 30s.
Okay. It's pretty cold.
they supply you with jackets. These beautiful jackets. And then we saw the Iceland, Greenland, and the cruise was called Iceland, Greenland, and the Northern Lights. And they would wake you up with loudspeakers at 2 o'clock in the morning saying, the green ladies are dancing. Okay. And it was like a fire drill. Put your clothes on and go up to the top deck and take pictures. It was amazing, absolutely amazing. Okay. And then that was for 2 weeks, came back. I have a house in Trabuco Canyon. And I don't know if you guys heard anything about the airport fire, but it started less than 2 miles from my house. I used to belong to the LART team, Large Animal Response Team down there, which no longer exists. So from my house, I spent hours trying to find places for 200 horses. They got 200 horses out of there. Fortunately, my neighborhood would have been gone had the winds not shifted. It was that close. I'm thinking about Selma. Anyway, but a lot of people lost their homes over that, so it's very tragic. It was over, I think it was 200,000 acres. Went all the way to Ortega, down to Riverside. It was awful.
The one that went through Minash? That's the one that I know lost. Her life's worth 15 dogs.
Oh, I just saw that.
No.
This
is in California or Texas?
No, this is in California.
No.
It's in Orange County.
Oh, okay.
It's canyons. It started in a canyon, and ironically, it started from workers trying to do preventative stuff.
Oh.
With machinery and
got away from them.
So, and then coming up, we're going to be doing the Central California Animal Disaster Team. We'll be doing the big adoption. So that's my life.
Well, that's pretty busy. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Haggard?
Didn't have a lot. We did do over in Ridge Crest, we do the 9/11 flag parade every year.
That's right, you do. That made the news.
It's a parade of 1,000 flags. It's pretty neat. They've done it since the year after 9/11, so they started in 2002. My little dog, of course, walks in the last 4 years he did. Mm-hmm. Last year we had to carry him because he kept being stepped on because he's 5 pounds, so he just blends in, you know. But yeah, this year we stuck kind of to the back, and he did make it through the whole parade. He drove me, so. Other than that, I haven't had a whole lot else going on, just working, but we're short a doctor right now, so that's been kind of off too, so.
Okay, good, thank you. Commissioner Christopher, you got a bunch, like right there.
Yeah.
Tell us about your friends.
My friends, Deanna's on vacation, so I thought I'd help her out. She said that they could go up front, but there's no one to coddle them, and they still need a little coddling, so I stepped up. I haven't had a whole lot going on with critters. I hope they haven't lost my phone number. They haven't given me an appointment since the 1st of August, so I'm crying. I had to temporarily suspend my Fix and Feral Felines Facebook page because people were messaging me saying, I got 5 cats in my yard. Can you come get them? And it was just, it's like, I don't have time for this. I would need a wife or a secretary or something to keep up with the amount of correspondence that is needed. So by eliminating a little bit of my presence, hopefully people can find other solutions, and everybody and their mother has my phone number. So the calls for service have not gone down, but I'm getting a little frustrated. It's a little overwhelming, you know, and then people throw money at you and that gets them in the express lane. And it's like, well, that's really not fair. You know, someone's been waiting for me to come over there for 4 months, and now you're giving me $500 and you think I'm just gonna, you know, line them up. And it's a lot. It's really stressful, and it's starting to take a toll on me. But fortunately, I just had a vacation, so I feel revived. I did take 25 cats up to Selma on the 5th for my low-cost spay neuter run to help stop Safe Tashby's orphan pets get their foster cats fixed. And we had a little kitten that had to have his eye removed, so I helped with that. And that's it. Other than that, just been running.
Okay, thanks. I don't have anything personal, but my daughter lives in New York City, and she volunteers at the local shelter over there. She'll walk a dog, like on a Saturday or whatever. But she started fostering on Monday, and got a photo here of it looks like a purebred Cocker Spaniel. It's the cutest dog in the world. And I wonder how these purebreds end up in a shelter. I don't know. I guess there's a million reasons. But so she's going to do that for a few weeks. So I'm glad that she's kind of following my footsteps a little bit on helping out animals. But you know, in New York, they've got a problem, too, with a lot of animals. So they're doing their best to try to alleviate it. So that's pretty much it. Old business, guess what? We don't have any. And under new business, don't have any of that either. So so our next meeting, yeah, you know they got their own meeting.
October 16th.
Okay.
I don't think it has 16.
Question in the audience.
You already answered questions. You already had your chance, so don't try to make fun of me.
Very quickly, which I appreciate, would you want to revisit doing an every other month meeting?
Say it again.
Would you revisit the idea of doing an every other month meeting?
Here?
Yeah.
We've talked about it. It was wild for like 3-4 years, and now it's kind of calmed down. It's not a bad idea that we'll, maybe we'll entertain that next month, but we have kicked it around from time to time during the last 10 years when things were slow, and I wouldn't be opposed to it.
As they do the odd months.
Yeah. So, okay, it's a good idea. Okay. Next meeting, October 16th, and I need a motion to adjourn. Okay, we're adjourned.